Jehovah Jireh. We're continuing in our Old Testament names of God. And today, Jehovah Jireh, God our provider. God our provider. We've heard stories this morning of how people have experienced God's provision. From an envelope over the doormat to the help of Christian brothers and sisters who have helped when they have seen a need. God's providing for our needs is something that we, many of us, have experienced. And as we speak about this, we're not just speaking about how God provides for the needs of an individual, but how he provides for the needs of his church and how he provides for the needs of community. That story which we know well, that's from Genesis that Ken read, the story of Abraham and Isaac. There's so many questions in that story, isn't there? Why did God ask Abraham to do such a thing? What was it about? What was he trying to do? Was it child abuse? Comes to mind from those who've got a safeguarding mind as well. But we won't go down that line. What we notice, though, is that God provides. Abraham had long wanted this child, and you will know that Isaac was born to Sarah when she was 100. There's chance for any one of you yet to become a parent again. But God then said to Abraham, and you know Abraham's journey is one of a story of God saying, Abraham following. In chapter 12, God says to Abraham, leave everything and follow me. And we just get that simply, so Abraham went. And God says, I'm going to make you a great nation. And at this time, Abraham had no children whatsoever. But Abraham trusted God and followed and went where God said. And very often we are in that situation, we try to protect everything rather than live a life of faith. The sense of we must protect what we have rather than to step out in the adventure. And Abraham was very much the stepping out in adventure. His story was one of wherever God said go, he went. And he had seen God providing over all sorts of things, not least the birth of Isaac, his son. What a great testimony to God's provision. And God was faithful. And then we come to this story in Genesis chapter 22, where Abraham is tested with the very thing that was going to be the outworking of all God's promises to come. Abraham, you remember? You're going to be a great nation. Your descendants will. And yet God tested him with the one descendant he actually had. If it was you or me, maybe he would have said, oh, well, actually, God, I don't think you got this quite right. How can you allow this son to go? You have said you will do something great, so I better not do this because I might upset your will, God. But no, Abraham was faithful. Abraham continued the journey of doing what God had said, believing God would provide, believing God would do what he has said. We're very good, aren't we, of trying to predict how God will do things. We're very good at saying, how will God provide? But Abraham went and invested the most valuable thing he had, his son, because God had said to do so. I want us to stop for a moment and ask ourselves a question. What's the one thing you really don't want God to ask of you? What's the one thing you really don't want God to ask of you? And how would you respond if he did? This is a story here. Abraham was asked by God for the one thing he didn't want to give up. Yet he did. But in the story, we have in verse 8 of Genesis chapter 22, that phrase, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. Abraham, despite all the signs, continued to go forward with what God had told him, believing that God will provide. It's madness. It's madness to walk out and do something like that in faith. But Abraham's faith in his God was so great that God will provide that he continued despite the evidence saying it's not going to happen. Friends, in our Christian journey, in our journey as a church, at times we will be called to go, despite the evidence saying we can't. And the question is, when God speaks and calls, do we follow or do we look at it in human terms? Of course, we know this story now, don't we? We heard it read to us. At the moment the ram was needed, God provided it. And in verse 14, we have Abraham's testimony. So Abraham called the place, the Lord will provide, or Jehovah Jireh. To this day, it is said, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. The sense there of Abraham's testimony that God stepped in just at the right moment. Often we don't experience that because we don't do the journey of faith first. Often we don't experience the stepping in because we just travel very safely. But God's provision is there. God's provision is often given through the situations we find ourselves in. And often we say something like, it's a coincidence. God's very good at coincidences. God's very good at putting the right people in the right place at the right moment. Have you not found this? God's very good at bringing around, but we write it off as a coincidence. I think sometimes we ought to be reframing them as God incidences. The moment God steps in through a stranger, through a interesting. Occasionally it's divine actions as a miracle takes place, and we mustn't rule them out. Our God is the God who created heaven and earth. Our God is the God who brought salvation. Our God can raise people from the dead. Lazarus, Jesus. Our God can heal. Let's not rule out the divine impact of a good God action. And God's provision is also through opportunities taken. Let's jump across to the Philippians reading. And that second reading that Ken read to us from Philippians chapter 4. There's a lot in this chapter. And you'll be pleased to know I'm not going to go through the whole lot. Let me be clear, when we talk about God's provision, we're not talking about prosperity gospel. The Bible nowhere says, become a Christian and you will be really wealthy. In fact, the Bible has a lot to say about how we use that which God has given to us. To the one who much has been given, much is required. And I think that's true for a church, it's true for a community. When God has blessed us, much is required. And very often, we spend our time counting the cost rather than counting what God has required of us. This is not prosperity gospel. God's provision isn't a case of name it and claim it or blab it and grab it. It's about God wanting to be there for our needs. In this passage, we read that Paul, the super apostle, was in times in need and plenty and hunger and in well. And he also used his own tent making to survive. If we look at verse 19 of Philippians chapter 4, we read these words, "And my God will meet all your needs." Needs. Not wants. Not must-haves. How many of you have seen a child's Christmas list this year? They need an iPad. Well, you can get them in Boots. They just plastic go over the eye, you know. They need this. They can't survive without a new mobile phone. And maybe you have your list of needs. I must have. I can't survive without. That's not what God's provision is for here. God's provision is about the needs. It's not just about money. It's about all kinds of things. The beginning where it talks about Jehovah Jireh, the only place it's mentioned in the Bible, what's God providing? A ram. Because that was just what was needed at that moment. In the Bible, there are many times of what God provides just as the people need it. Water from a rock. Manna from heaven. For the Israelites, what they needed was the parting of the sea. For the disciples, it was a calming of a storm. God's provision is that which we need. If we take the wider chapter of Philippians 4 and go back to verse 6, we see there Paul saying to these same Christians, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Paul is talking about the absolute trust and faith in God and presenting things to God. You going through a battle at the moment? Have you presented it to God? In prayer. You worried about somebody? Have you offered them to God? In prayer. Are you worried about an appointment this week? Present it to God in prayer. Paul is saying, don't be anxious about anything. but in everything by prayer and supplication and with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, believing God's going to answer it before you even ask. Through prayer. So that's verse 6. And then in the same chapter, just 13 verses later, Paul states that liberating promise of future grace. My God will supply every need of yours. If we live by faith in this promise of future grace, it will be very hard for anxiety to survive about those things we need. God's riches in glory are inexhaustible. Therefore, it really means we do not need to worry about our future. We should follow this pattern that Paul lays out for us. We should battle the unbelief of anxiety with the promises of God's future grace and care. When we're anxious about some new risky venture or meeting, we need to regularly battle unbelief with one of the most often used promises of Scripture. And I'm just going to take you to a different place. But before we do, let me say this. At times when we are stepping into the unknown, a venture, a challenge, when we're going in to do things that we do not look hopeful, be that for us as individuals, for us as a church, or maybe this week as a nation, we need to quote to ourselves the Scriptures and the following. Maybe we need to say it once. Maybe we need to say it 500 times. Maybe we need to say it through our moments of tremendous stress. And it comes from Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10, where it says this, "Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand." That sense of God's provision, where we do not need to live lives of fear. So let me, as I come to a conclusion, and we recognize God's provision for our eternity through the bread and wine, let me mention those four verses again. Genesis chapter 22, verse 8. Maybe you want to write these down and just keep looking at them this week. Maybe you want to remember them time and time again. Abraham's promise. The moment when he was going to have to give up the one thing that was most key to him in the world this week, in his life. The thing that was going to be most important to him. And God was asking him, what does God say? What does Abraham say? God himself will provide a lamb for the burnt offering, my son. God asking you to give up something, God will provide. Can you hold on to that this week? And then jumping forward, a second verse for you to take into this week. And that's from Philippians 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, and with thanksgiving, present your petitions to God, your requests to God. Hold on to that verse. There's an action to do there, isn't there? That's a statement of faith. Abraham's statement of faith is God will provide. The next verse is by faith, ask and trust. The third verse, same chapter, verse 19. God will provide for all your needs according to his riches in glory. Wow. And then the final verse I want you to take into this week. As we go forward, is that one from Isaiah? Isaiah 41. And verse 10, fear not. Isn't that one of the hardest things to do? Not fear. We worry, don't we? Fear not, says God, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. Homework. Read these four verses every day this week. If necessary, write them out. Put them on your fridge. If you need to focus on it longer, stick it on front of your TV. Focus on it. Focus on a God who can provide. A God who wants the good for you. A God who doesn't want us to live in fear, but recognize that actually we are called to obedience and he will never let us down. Four verses there that remind us that God is our provider. As we come to Advent, you know the people were walking in darkness and they saw a great light. As the coming of our Saviour into the world that we will celebrate in 2 weeks' time came to bring us salvation, forgiveness, new beginnings, came because he loved you. We are going to recognize his provision right now.